Hi there, I'm Juliet Nichols, the founder and director of Pineapple Audio Production, and you're listening to the Podcasting Playbook. We're really lucky to be supported by some incredible businesses at Pineapple, so I just want to take a minute here to thank House of Kalmar, a self-care brand all about empowering you to reconnect with yourself. I tried their Love Bath Oil recently, and it is beautiful. We're also working on a podcast for them, so watch this space. And Audio Boom, one of the leading podcast publishers who help you get your podcast to Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. We use them for tons of our content distribution, so thank you very much. We are huge, huge fans. On today's episode, we are so excited to have Nathan McGurr with us. Nathan is the founder of The Study Buddy, a tool to help students manage their time, especially in the run-up to exams. He's also a self-confessed marketing geek and has a ton of knowledge in the digital and social media spaces. He also hosts the Study Sessions podcast, which we've been producing together for a couple of years now. Hi, Nathan. So would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get on to today's topics?
Firstly, thanks for having me on. Fabulous to talk to you, Julia, as always. So, hi, as you say, I'm Nathan. I am the founder and director of The Study Buddy, which is a business that helps to take some of the stress out of exam preparation, specifically for GCSEs. And that comes because, although I led with founder and director, I am first and foremost a dad, like a normal human being. And it was bringing some of those experiences to bear that really helped me to set up The Study Buddy. So I guess that's really what I should have led with. Dad and a human first.
I like that a lot. Tell me how you found yourself getting interested in podcasting or in audio, because you haven't mentioned it up until this point. So I presume it was something that was relatively new to you at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hadn't even considered it. I'm a big music fan. So I listen constantly in the office, on the shop floor. There's music piped through. I've always got at least one set of headphones so that I can listen in case one of them gets broken. So sound and audio, I think, was always really important to me. But I'd never considered podcasting until I saw something from you, either a post perhaps on Instagram or Facebook or maybe even LinkedIn. There was something that made the connection between you and podcasting. And I thought, actually, that could be really interesting for the Study Buddy. And so I did a bit of digging around. And I think it became at a point when I was looking at marketing. So this was pre-pandemic. So it would have been 2019, I guess. But yeah, so there was something there. And I think I then just dropped you an email and said, hi, not sure if you remember me as someone who ruined your opportunities at Lloyds. but I'm really interested in finding out a bit more, and talk me through what we could do. And so you did. And that was, that was a real eureka moment, I think, actually, because I was struggling. I was trying to find new ways of breaking through. Study Buddy, still very new and unknown brand. And so I was looking for something that would be a bit more exciting and sort of tick some boxes. And I don't mean that in a functory way. I mean, literally, there were things that I needed my marketing to do. So I needed reach. I needed to get out to a broader audience than I was currently getting to. Wanted to find out information. I wanted to be relevant, and also wanted to sort of cement the brand as one that cared about student well-being and student potential. We're not a business that's in here for getting your child to nines and eights. We're not a tutor service. It's very much about the individual, and that's what the podcasting did.
Yeah. So we launched the trailer of the Study Sessions in March 2020. So it literally was just before the pandemic. So, I mean, crazy, crazy times. But tell me a little bit about that experience of us getting started, because yeah, we did have some ups and downs and in that initial period, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to start with, I mean, it was really exciting because it was all very new. Personally, I was as nervous as hell, like anyone who's never done this kind of stuff before hates the sound of their own voice. And I was absolutely in that camp. The voice in my head did not sound like the voice that was leaving my mouth. And I think that disconnect is what makes people think, oh, I'm not sure about that.
I think that's pretty normal as well, actually.
Absolutely. So there was definitely discomfort as we approached it, but also exciting because it was something new, and who doesn't love something new? And those first, I remember that you'd booked studio room. So we went up to a proper booth, and we had 4 guests lined up.
We did a block of recordings, didn't we?
Yes, we did, which was fantastic. And again, from a business point of view and a marketing point of view, we could slow release those and it took a lot of pressure off. And we knew that we had a pipeline of episodes to release. Of course, our first one, Dr. Dominique Thompson, who I love. I mean, we've had some amazing guests, but actually she's been tremendous and always enjoyed chatting to her and learned so much. And I think that was the real watershed moment. Again, as part of that process, chatting to Dom, and I read her book before we sat down to do sort of a bit of research so that I knew I wasn't just going in there and tell me stuff. I wanted it to be useful, but actually just gleaned so much information. And you think, I recognize the student you're talking about. Actually, not as Jake, but my niece is like that. I know someone else who's a bit like this, as she was talking about sort of anxiety around perfectionism, fear of failure. And actually, that was when I knew that what we talked about and what we'd created together and sort of in this outline was really hitting on something. And I think was going to be so much bigger than I'd expected.
Our work together and study sessions is actually a really great case study for how podcasting developed in quite a short time, because exactly that, we were in a studio, we met in real life, we had our guests come in one by one. And then, you know, within a month or a couple of months, we'd completely changed the way that we recorded, hadn't we?
Absolutely. I think actually it is just as well that we did have that block, because it took us a little while to try to evaluate what was going to go on with the podcast, how we're going to do it. Because I'm not even sure we'd released our first one before lockdown came in. We may have done. We may have just had episode one, perhaps episode two, and then lockdown. For me, obviously lockdown was hugely impactful as a business because it cancelled exams. We exist first and foremost in our customers' minds to help them with the exam preparation. If you don't have exams, you don't need to revise. So I mean, how we got on with the business of recording podcasts was an issue as well, because I mean, the idea would have been, I presume, that we'd have just carried on going to a studio. But actually, as you said, I mean, it evolved. I mean, I'm currently in my mobile studio that I've got set up in the office, because the first one that we recorded in lockdown was sat here in the office, which is a sort of a typical office space. It's not a lot of furniture in it. It was ever so echoey. So yeah, bought in from Amazon foamy type pads to try to deaden some sound. I'm sat on a bit of carpet, which I still do. And so I erect this setup around me whenever I do any recording. So it's been quite interesting. There was a bit of trial and error, and you and the other producers that we worked with from Pineapple, I mean, were so patient as I tried to get this right and get it set up. But it's so much more convenient now, because I'm based out in the sticks, because I don't need to be in a city centre. So why do it? So what I've needed to have travelled, but also we've had guests from all over the world. I've spoken to a professor in Texas before he was going to the gym. And we wouldn't have been able to have these sort of the caliber of guests that we'd have had on, I think, if we were trying to get them out and about to where I am, certainly. So it would have been a lot more traveling, which is obviously very disruptive. The podcasting has been such a great vehicle. And as I said, initially what I wanted was a marketing tool that would give me reach. And it has done that. And I think, although we are obviously a fairly niche subject, we did, I think we peaked. I think we got to number 4 in the iTunes charts at the very beginning, which is, I mean, amazing. And a great, from a marketing point of view, is a great thing to go out there and say. So we did do that. We had the reach. We could see the traffic and it translating to people coming to the website to find out more. People dropping me a line, say, oh, I love the podcast episode that I've just heard about this. And our guests benefited as well, I know. That they were saying, oh, people heard the podcast and then they'd come to me, which was all amazing. One of the greatest things, though, about the podcast has been just how much I've learned and the network that I've made as a result of it. And I didn't go into it with that cynical idea of, oh, this will be a great networking tool. Talking to teachers, talking to other educators around the world, cognitive scientists, I've learned so much. Because ultimately, I guess I'm sort of my intended listener. My daughter was going through GCSEs over the last couple of years, so it's been really quite selfish. Tell me about how I can help her in the guise of telling other parents how they can support their own teens. But that bank of knowledge honestly has absolutely changed the way, not just that I helped that I was with them, the way that the business is now structured, and there've been some changes to what we've done and the advice that we can give. So absolutely. I mean, we will carry on podcasting.
Thank you so much, Nathan, for being our guest on the Podcasting Playbook. And thank you for tuning in and getting to know a little bit more about the work that we do. Don't forget to follow and review for more podcast episodes coming your way soon. And before I go, I just want to take a minute here to let you know about something I'm really excited we're doing, the Pineapple Awards. We're all about investing in young people and supporting them as they get into the audio, podcasting and radio industries. So we've set up an annual opportunity to showcase the talent of young people. They'll get great prizes, real industry experience, and the chance to network with the biggest bosses of the industry. And there are three categories: Best Producer, Best Editor, and Best Creative Idea. The Pineapple Awards are supported by Leo Bites, Stella, House of Kalmar, Ice Cool Design, and Audio Boom. The closing date is February 28th, 2023, and all the details are on the Pineapple website. So get entering now.